paralysis by analysis. That's what you get from the other guys. But not here. Not now. Not ever. This is the Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA, a deep look inside the game. The Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA is broadcasting live from McFadden's at the ballpark and is brought to you in part by SEPTA, BCWSA, Rob's Automotive, Vince Siriani and Contour Mortgage, Marriott Suites in Clearwater Beach, Harris Comfort, Penn Community Bank, McCaffrey Supermarkets, Peruzzi Auto Group, Keenan's in North Wildwood, and the Southern Ocean County Chamber of Commerce. We now go live to McFadden's at the ballpark for the Baseball Insider Show. Now, here are your hosts, Ricky Batalico and John Brazier.
All right, welcome to the Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA. I'm John Brazier, Director of Fun and Games, and this is Ricky Batalico.
What up, JB?
How you doing, Ricky?
Good, finally back.
And not only finally back, but it's finally a one-game winning streak.
I brought the win.
You did bring the win.
Thank Maybe a series much. Win today would be nice.
It was actually a great day. We're going to get into that yesterday. But we have a great show planned today. We are at McFadden's for the Phils take on the Giants at 1:35. If you're coming down to the game, pop on in to McFadden. Say hi to Ricky Bowe, 1994 All-Star.
96, thanks a lot. Come on, man.
My first year was 94, and that was your first year.
Yeah.
So, sorry, 1996 thanks, All-Star representative. We are going to have several guests on today. We're going to have two Phillies broadcasters. We're going to have former broadcaster Chris Wheeler.
Wheels.
And I want to get into Wheel. This is why I wanted to have, well, many reasons why I want to have Wheels on. But one of the main reasons is that there's a lot of stuff going on in the news now. You've got sabermetrics, and you got all these stats like launch angles yep. and exit velocity. And you also have that we want to get into the Buster Posey and Hunter Strickland situation and talk about old school, new school. And get people's takes. I want to get your take. I want to get Chris Wheeler's take on, you know, some again, on going back to sabermetrics, is that how's that affecting baseball these days and stats and runs scored? And is it helping overall in the game? And then going to the, I'd love to get your opinion on the role of you know, the unwritten rules. And, you know, Hunter Strickland waiting 3 years to hit Bryce Harper. Don't get into it now. We'll get into it. And we'll get into Bryce Harper. Role or non-role right. in that. And again, that's so I really want to kind of get into
it's how, the be
game,
good.
How the game has changed with you and Wheels. So that'll be a really interesting dynamic. We should have Wheels on about 12:30. We're going to have Greg Murphy on. Now, Murph obviously is our in-game sideline reporter, and he's just interviewed some great players. He interviewed a lot of celebrities. So yesterday he did the Avett Brothers. And I'd love to just kind of get into talking about, does he get nervous? Like, you know, sometimes you're talking to politicians.
Like with Kristen Chenoweth.
You're talking to actors. You're talking to opera stars.
Murph is probably excited with Kristen
right,
Chenoweth.
Right, so, but, you know, it's got to be a little. But he looks just so chill when he does it, doesn't he?
I think you get to a point where you're just like, it is what it is. This is my job, and I'm just moving on.
Exactly right. So we will also take a look at the Phils minor league system. We're going to give you some updates on some of the budding stars at each level. A couple guys got moved up from AA to AAA, so we'll take a look at that. We'll go around baseball, bring you some unique stats and stories from around the league, as well as get an early preview. How about this, Ricky Bowe? We'll get an early preview of the All-Star team from each league. And do you think we'll also get into – well, we'll get into Herrera.
The All-Star thing – before you go on, the All-Star thing bothers me a little bit. How is Aaron Altherr not on the ballot? I know he didn't start in the first week. It was the first week of the season.
Right. They must put this out or put the ballot together.
That is
well
bad,
before.
Though. I think so, that's bad.
But it looks like now, I mean, Aaron Altherr obviously right now is a front runner
right.
if we're going to have somebody on the team. So we'll get into
that. How
about
Neshek?
Hey, tell you what, he could be there too if they're looking for a reliever.
Dude's dealing.
We will also preview today's 1:35 game versus the Giants. It'll be nice to win a series because we haven't won a series in a while. But Ricky, staying positive because yesterday was a positive day. We are start off with some big positivity. Yesterday you had gorgeous weather.
Yep.
You had a good, clean, pretty much a clean win. Not just a win, but a clean win up until the ninth inning.
Ninth inning,
Maris
yeah.
came in. But then you had, you probably didn't see unbelievable concert.
I did not see it, but I'm sure you did.
I did. I really like these guys, the Avett Brothers. They came yesterday. The basis for the Avett Brothers is from South Jersey.
That's
it's from
awesome.
Egg Harbor Township. So before
good
the,
crowd stayed, you were saying?
Great crowd. I think we probably increased the crowd probably 8 to 10,000
wow.
people. The stands were packed. It was a great demographic because the Avett Brothers, you know, Jim Jackson had the bass on the pregame show yesterday. And Jim was trying to explain what kind of music they play. And it's kind of a tough genre because they're a rock band. They're folk, kind of. They're country-ish. and they're alternative. So it's they've got a little bit of everything. So I
how do you even pull that off?
You know what? I described it as y'all alternative. So it's not, it's kind of a country alternative, y'all alternative.
Y'all alternative.
Yeah. So it has, and also some people will use the term Americana because it has, you know, when you have, it has a stand up bass, it has a banjo, it has a fiddle, it has a cello, and it has, you know, electric guitar and acoustic guitar and drums.
They should have just called themselves all over the place.
All over the place. But it's great. There's very similar to if you heard the Mumford and Sons. You know
no.
the Mumford and Sons?
No.
You're still stuck in like Van Halen days, right?
No, I'm not.
Scorpion.
Stuck in like Selena Gomez.
You listen to the hairband.
Justin
Bieber. You listen to hairband channels?
No, man. I got two daughters. What do you want me to do?
By the way, I drove with Tommy Green to a golf tournament the other day. I've actually driven a lot in his
Who
in
drove?
His truck. Tommy did.
Oh, boy.
So he listens to two things, which is great on satellite radio. He listens, obviously, he listens to country. He's
right.
a good old boy from North Carolina. So he listens to country. There's like eight different country stations on XM, but he also listens to the Hairband channel.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and I asked about that because I didn't think
rather
Tommy,
surprising.
I didn't think Tommy
me.
Green is a hairband guy, but you know he said when he used to lift weights, and still when he lifts weights these days, he puts on you know so it's Scorpion, it's Europe, it's Slayer, not Slayer.
Slayer's like, one of them.
Slayer, one of them. Old school.
The Scorpions, all those kind of.
Well,
that doesn't. That doesn't translate
jive
to
with
me.
What
no,
you,
not for him. I would never expect
Murph,
him to
you
be.
You want to jump on right now? We're gonna keep
headbanger.
We're gonna keep him Murph for a second.
He's a headbanger.
We have Greg Murphy joining us right now.
Hi.
Now
we have a superstar in our
now,
midst.
Now Murph, we were just talking music here, and Tommy, I was saying Tommy Green. I drove in a truck back from a golf tournament.
Okay.
And you would think that that he would play country. Well, he went to Costa Rica with myself and some other people, and he played country the whole time. He was a DJ, which is fine. I know you're a big country guy.
I am. Yeah.
But he also listens to a lot of hairband stuff. So. Do you see that? Can you see Tommy Green listening to a hair band?
No, I really can't, to be honest with you. But how old's Tommy about?
He's 49.
Yeah, so, you know, he's
I don't
about our
to
age.
Stuff, though.
Come on, we grew up with the hair
Ringer,
bands. Poison.
Scorpion.
Scorpion.
I guess when we were that era we did, but that kind of ran out, hasn't it?
But no, but every once in a while,
you
don't
go back
you
to
just,
nostalgia.
You get in your car and you're just like, you know what?
And you hear it and you're like,
I'd like to hear a little rat right now.
Right.
That'd be
well,
all right.
I got to admit, I go back to the
strip joint music.
It is strip joint music. I go to the 70s channel sometimes, which plays those really kitschy one-hit wonders.
Yeah.
Remember like Billy Don't Be Hero and
sure.
Night yeah. Chicago Died?
I was
to bring you back to, you know, your past.
I was pretty young in the 70s.
You were pretty young. I'm showing my age right there. All right, we got the Murphy. Murph, we're bringing it on a little early because you're going to join our segment. We're going to have more of a fun segment, but you're going to have to talk a little baseball here.
Oh, okay.
All right. So we're going to talk about
last
night.
Is that good
or bad? Well, depends. It's yesterday. It's good.
Yeah.
It's always a positive. We are being a fountain, not a drain on this segment right here.
Okay.
So,
says you.
So yesterday's game, you had Ben Lively. How about that? Ben Lively, this is his third appearance with the Phillies. Third time up.
Yep.
No appearances. Finally makes his appearance, right?
Yep.
It's got to be jitters. You remember your first time,
yeah,
right?
Scared
your first
to
appearance.
Death.
You remember
right.
your first
I do.
Time?
Where was it?
Do you hear this guest we have on? He Brazier didn't even pay attention. Don't worry about
it. I got it. Whatever my idea.
If you notice, he writes everything down. So it's not off the paper, he's not listening.
Well, we were talking about strip bars. So I guess his mind was wandering.
I guess so.
It definitely wandered.
But yes, he made his first appearance as Phillies pitcher and did something that pitchers haven't done this year for the Fighting Phillies.
Right.
Went seven innings.
Yeah.
Right? But he also did something weird that he didn't strike anybody out. First time since Vance Worley. Did it back in 2012.
Did you see his quote after the game? He said, I couldn't have even struck out my sister yesterday, but, you know, they were hitting ground balls, so I stayed with it. And you know, Ricky, you could speak to this much better than John and I can, but there's a guy that seemed to recognize, okay, these guys are over-swinging, they're grounding balls, you know, they're pulling balls to the weak side, and I'm just going to keep doing that. I'm going to keep feeding that until they figure it out, and they never did figure
it
out.
Well, you're not going to figure – they don't know him.
Right.
I mean, first and foremost, so they're looking for the first pitch they see over the plate, and if it has a little sink on it, yeah, there goes your rollovers. But I mean, to go into a ball game as a starter, it's a little different. I came in as a reliever. Strikeouts don't mean anything. I mean, they really don't. And I think a lot of people looked at a guy like Vince Velasquez. That's the reason why he's having so much trouble, because I think he goes in with a mentality that I want to strike this guy out. 0-2 count. I have to strike him out.
Avoid contact.
Yep. And that's the worst way to go about it. I mean, the greatest pitcher in my era was Greg Maddux. He didn't strike anybody out.
Right. And, you know, and I think you're dead on that. And you know, a guy like Vince Velasquez, I feel like he has this mentality, and maybe the worst thing that could have happened to him was the 16 strikeout game, you know, early, what was his second start, yeah. I think, with the Phillies. So, you know, you think about that, and he has not been able to get past that yet. But, yeah, Jeremy Hellickson's been our most consistent pitcher over the last 2 years. You know, he's not necessarily a strikeout guy.
He's
not
hiccups, too.
Yeah, he has, but he's not an overpowering kind of guy. So, yeah, strikeouts are great, but they're relatively overrated. Absolutely.
I mean, I think they're big for a reliever.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a reliever, you might come into a ball game with runners on second and third and one out. You need a strikeout.
Right.
I get that. I understand that. But you don't have to, as a starter, go in there think strikeout, strikeout, strikeout. You think keep the ball down, make them hit the top of the baseball, and you know let the ball
go
where it may.
The problem too is that speaking especially Velasquez is that he's already at 80 pitches in the third or fourth inning. Yeah. And then what's happening is our bullpen's getting taxed, you know, way too early.
And that's been a team-wide problem. It's certainly a problem with Vince, and it has been since he's gotten here. But it's a team-wide problem right now. I mean, Jared has struggled to get deep into games. You know, Aaron has been up and down this year, you know, coming off the injuries. Had one good start, one bad one.
It's kind of funny. I don't think Nola's gotten into a groove. I don't think he's found himself yet this year.
Yeah, maybe not. I mean, you know, he was hurt, obviously, missed some time. Yeah. But
and the reason why I say that is, I mean, if you think about him last year, it was 91, 92 with sink, sink, sink. All of a sudden, he's back and his arm's stronger and it's 94, right. 95. Sometimes you don't know how to react to that, what kind of a pitcher you should be.
All right, so going back to the game then, it looked like it was going to be, could be another bleak game, day. And then Tommy Joseph, who's been a big bright spot, had a great month of May, you know, hits one out. It was actually the longest home run hit by Philly this season. Andrew Knapp was probably a little bummed out that he overtook.
Oh, they have time.
That one, they've got time.
They have time.
But, you know, traveled 447 feet, so it's good to see Tommy Joseph, you know, continue that role into early June.
Yeah.
And then the interesting thing was, you know, the breakout hit was Herrera. Mm-hmm. Now, Herrera, which I found interesting, he does a bat flip on a if he pops the ball out, he's doing a bat flip.
Right.
He does a bat flip, and then Blanco tells him when he comes, he clears the bases with a triple, and then Blanco tells him right away, hey, you know what you did? You did the bat flip off Hunter Strickland. Do you know who Hunter Strickland is? He's the guy in the news that took on Buster Posey.
No, took on Bryce Harper.
Right, sorry.
Yeah.
Took on Bryce Harper with Buster Posey behind the plate.
Yeah.
So.
But here's the thing. I mean, Hunter Strickland's not going to be hunting anybody
exactly
for the rest
right,
of the season.
Exactly right, with all the attention he got.
Maybe 2 years from now, O'Double steps in against Strickland and he takes one in the ribs.
Well, it was 3 years from when Bryce Harper.
I just don't get it.
Look.
That's my biggest thing. All right, fine, you're a bat flipper. He obviously does it on purpose.
He does.
Okay,
there's no doubt.
So he's doing it to show somebody up.
There's the pitcher talking
If
he's doing it on purpose, doing it, I mean,
and
to show
And he was asked
up.
About that last night, and he said his intent is – absolutely not to show someone up. It's just his enthusiasm. It's just the way he plays. It's a different culture.
Definitely,
you know, when the Latin American guys were growing up, that was okay. It was different in the States, but there are, you know, obviously there are hundreds of Latin American players in Major League Baseball now, and some of that influence is being brought in. Whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, I don't know if you can definitively say one way or the other. To me, if he wasn't on our team, I'd probably hate it.
Right.
But he is, so I look at it and say, man, he's having fun, he's enjoying himself.
And
so.
There's got to be guys hitting behind him saying, I'm going to get drilled.
No, it hasn't happened yet.
I know, it's odd.
So,
Maybe nobody throws in anymore, so why even bother?
Right. I watched a lot of the World Baseball Classic. I don't know if you guys did. It was really fun, and it was fun because all the old school rules were off the table.
The unwritten rules.
And the pitchers were you know, pounding their fists after a strikeout, and guys were showing a lot of emotion.
But that's because they're also playing for their country.
I know.
I mean, they're fired up. Look, it's not one of 162 there. It's every game you need to win.
I know. I guess as a fan, and I know as a player, it would probably bother me.
But it's okay. It can bother the pitcher. Why do I care if their pitcher's bothered? Right. If I don't care.
By the way, if he is bothered, the next time you see him, you drill him.
Fine. And if you want to do that.
And then when he's on the ground, wailing in pain, you say, flip your bat. Go ahead. Flip it now. That's what I would do.
Or he jogs down to first base. The next guy, he hits a double. They score. And, I mean, you can look at it both ways. I get you're a pitcher, so you're looking at it from a pitcher's perspective. And you can be annoyed. But But as a, my job as a hitter on the opposing team is to annoy you. Why is that a bad thing? One guy
watched the ball off of me. It was Adam Dunn.
Okay.
And he deserved to watch it.
Okay.
Because the ball almost went out of Great American Ballpark.
So you did.
And I was watching.
Did you retaliate?
No, I saw him the next day. I said that I didn't care because I thought it was a bomb.
All right, what if he had flipped his bat?
Well hit.
What if he had flipped his bat?
I would have been ticked.
Would you have hit him?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
And Adam Dunn's a big guy.
Right, and so, but Adam Dunn.
I don't really care who's a big guy. What does that matter?
I just think.
Looking after you, Ricky.
Hey, if it takes one shot.
Yeah.
If I can get in your head in any way, advantage me as the hitter. And same with a pitcher. You come up and into a batter and put him on his back and think to yourself, now you have the advantage.
Right.
Advantage you. Good for you.
Right. No, but my whole point is that if I strike him out, I mean, I think there's been one guy in my whole career that I could remember, Perez from the Expos. Used to do that little dance.
Right. Yeah.
And we hated it.
Right.
But, I mean, it was funny because Greg Jeffries ended up hitting for the cycle against that team. And on his cycle, I believe he was on second base, and it may have been against Perez. I'm not sure, but he got on second, and he did the little dance
right back to him. Pascal Perez?
Right. I don't remember what his
name was. And how did you guys react to that when Jeffries does that? You loved it.
Well, yeah.
Of course you did.
Well, it was funny because the pitcher laughed, too. I mean, so, you know,
it's just
one of those things.
I don't care either way,
but if it was me pitching, I'd be a little bothered by it.
And then you'd have the right to do what you wanted to do.
But, I mean, then you do take into effect that he's doing it every time.
Yeah.
So
it's not personal.
Can you stick around for another segment?
I can.
Because I want to talk about all your interview subjects, including yesterday, where you got to interview the Avett Brothers, which is one of my favorite bands. Thought it was an awesome day. We'll talk about that and all the other celebrities, and we'll get into, of course, we always have to talk about Paula Abdul, right?
Paul. No, there's a new one, though.
Oh, there's a new one. All right, well, hold on to that. You have to listen to hear that. So you're listening to the Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA on 1490 WBCB.
Hey, what's up? This is Adam Sandler, and you're listening to the Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA with my good man, John Brazier. My grandma used to have a crush on him. And my grandma, she had really bad gas. We used to call her Tootie. And co-host Ricky Vitalico. And you can squeeze him, too. Shibby-doo. Hee-hoo!
We are back to the Baseball Insider Show.
Where do you get these?
Presented by SEPTA Live McFadden's. I'm John Brazier, joined by co-host Ricky Vitalico. We got Greg Murphy here, and that was the voice of Adam Sandler. Giving a little shout-out.
Where did you see him?
Was that Joe Conklin? Come on.
It's not Joe Conklin. Joe Conklin does not do Adam Sandler.
Where did you see him?
It's in my bag of tricks. You don't have to ask me these questions,
You are
Rick.
Ridiculous.
That is funny. And
how about that? He acknowledged Ricky Bell, huh? Yeah,
there you go.
How about the fact that Grandma Sandler's in love with your co-host over here?
Oh,
was.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, was could mean a couple different things. I think we get away from that.
Let's talk baseball.
Yeah. Now that I have a gray beard, he's really attracted to me. All right. We got Greg Murphy here. Now,
yeah, he's looking old, isn't he, these days?
Ernest Hemingway.
Put those glasses on.
I need a better tan to get my Ernest Hemingway
in. Yeah.
Yes. And then he said, with the glasses on, I look like the guy from Family Ties, was it?
Before the guy from Family Ties.
Oh, Gross. What was his first name? Yeah, Michael,
right.
Gross?
Michael Gross.
Yeah. But without it, he looks like the captain of the Titanic.
Right. I've heard Bob Weir. I've heard a lot of things. All right, Murph. Yeah. Speaking of celebrities, you've dealt with a lot of celebrities over the years.
Yes.
Right. So, first of all, yesterday,
Ricky's been the toughest.
Now, did you?
I used. Wait a minute. Time. I used to. You know what? I give Murph all kinds of props when we
I
used
love
to do
Ricky.
The pre and post game show. It was awesome.
Yes, we had a lot of fun.
Of course,
we
Ricky
did.
Bo.
We did.
Ricky Bo. By the way, before we get into that, Ricky Bo and I talked. This is way back in '94, '95, '96. Right.
Okay.
Right? And we said one of these days. We should have he said it to me. He said, one of these days, we should have a radio show together. That was back in the mid-90s.
That was
and
prognostication.
How many years have we been doing now? 10 years, maybe?
Well, it's kind of hard when I sat on the plane in front of Harry and Larry.
Yeah.
Those were the two guys that sat right behind me.
That's good influence.
Every flight.
Good
well,
influence.
Harry, yeah. Especially when he's handing me a Coors Light every 5 minutes.
All right. So yesterday you had the Avett Brothers. Now, again, I'm a huge fan of the Avett Brothers, so I would have a million questions asked. But sometimes you get put into a situation where you've got to do a quick study up of the celebrity, whether it's an actor, politician, singer. Now, yesterday, the Avett Brothers, were you familiar with the Avett Brothers?
I wasn't. I mean, I was familiar with the Avett Brothers, but I was not familiar with their background and their bios and stuff. So, yeah, I had to do a little prep and found out that, you know, Bob Crawford
basis, yeah.
Was a South Jersey kid.
Yep,
and a huge Phillies fan.
Yes.
Which was awesome. Makes my job that much easier when you sit down to talk to them, because you have a little bit of a line of questioning that's so easy. Now, Scott Avett was not a sports fan, but obviously a brilliant musician.
Right, from North Carolina.
Yeah, from North Carolina. So we talked to him about the music side of things. We talked to Bob about the sports side of things, and it worked out perfectly.
Did you stick around for the concert?
I stuck around for a little bit of the concert. I had a prior engagement last night that I had to get to, but I did hear the first, I think, two or three songs. They sounded great. They sounded great, and I would love to see them, because now that I got a chance to meet them and you know, talk to them about their music, it was whenever you connect with someone like that, and they were terrific guys, you can't help but be a fan.
Right.
You can't, and I'm a music fan, so I like their sound, and I thought it was great. But I had a lot of friends that were at the concert last night, specifically came to the ballpark to see them.
Now, you're more of a country guy. Now, they're country-ish.
Yeah.
Hunter Hayes is performing later this year.
Yep.
At the ballpark, same thing, a post-game concert, and I'm sure you'll be interviewing Hunter. Are you a fan of Hunter?
I'm a fan. I mean, you know, I'm a fan of talented people, and they're all talented, and that's why, you know, you certainly enjoy certain kinds of music more than others, but I run the gamut. I mean, I do like country, and I listen to a lot of country, but, you know, I go back and listen to the stuff that I grew up with. You know, I rock and roll and even the hair bands every once in a while when I'm hanging out with Tommy Green. But so I like it all. I really do.
What celebrity is the one where you were most intimidated, either because you're the biggest fan or for some reason you were
that's
intimidated?
That's a great question.
What
thought she was hot.
Right. Or it could be that. In whatever scenario, you were tongue-tied or you were intimidated when you interviewed her.
Honestly, I don't mean to sound I don't want to come off as, you know, hey, I'm not intimidated by anyone. But 98% of the folks that we get a chance to talk with, and you meet a lot of these folks too, John, they're really nice people.
Well, they're on our turf too, so
and
it's
they
not
are.
Like they're going to be.
So it makes it very easy, and I often feel very comfortable with them as long as I'm prepared. You know,
right.
I have an idea of you know what I want to ask them and that kind of thing. Don Cheadle, that was at Citi Field. He was there, and he was wearing a Mets jersey, and he was I guess it was what movie was he in? He was in the superhero movie. Come on, help me out. Superhero movie, Don Cheadle. Anyway,
Fantastic Four. I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. I don't watch that. Anyway, he was in that movie. I interviewed him.
That was Don Cheadle just calling you.
Yep. Yeah, he calls me all the time. It's unbelievable.
He was going to tell you I was in Fantastic Four.
Yeah, but anyway, we started out slowly in the interview. That's how I would put it. But by the end, he had warmed up, and it was great. So. I guess to answer your question, it would be Don Cheadle, and I'm a huge fan of his.
Huge fan. What are the hardest interviews to do? Because obviously there's people that you don't know that you have to do. They may be sponsors or whatnot. Are those the toughest?
Yes, they can be.
Probably a kid,
put it this
too.
Way.
Like, kids are tough to interview.
Well, but you know going in that a kid is probably going to give you a one-sentence answer.
Right.
So if you're prepared for that, that's not that big of a deal. It's when an adult gives you a one-sentence answer that you're not expecting. You ask them this, you know, thoughtful question, and you expect, you know, a couple of sentence answer, and you get two or three words. That's when it becomes difficult. And you're like, really, man? You're just going to leave it at that? That's when it becomes hard.
Are you fearful of the walk-off interview?
No. No.
The walk-off home run, then you got to do the interview.
Yeah, how many times have you
gotten? It's harder to do. It is harder to
I'm
do it that way.
I'm talking about the fact of getting doused.
Right.
No.
You get doused every day, every time we have a walk-off, right?
I have very quick feet. I think I've only been hit twice this year, and we've had about 10 or 12 dousings this year. When I first started, it was pies.
Right.
Shaving cream pies.
Those are the worst.
Yeah, and I got my fair share of those. But nowadays, I kind of am looking forward at this point. And, you know, I'm wearing suede shoes, so I got to get out of there. You know what I'm saying? I can't afford to get doused on a daily basis.
All right, how about your the celebrities you're most excited to talk about, like, or talk with? Like ones that you were like, I know. Well, Paul Abdul, tell the Paul Abdul story. You got to tell that story.
Well, Paul Abdul was here at the ballpark, and that was in the height of, well, she was just coming off of American Idol, I guess, at that point. And she was here for, if I'm not mistaken, for Prostate
yes,
Cancer Awareness
she
Day.
Was, yep.
And so I had a chance to interview her, and during, she was wonderful. And before the interview, she was very quiet, and I was a little concerned how the interview was going to be on the air. As soon as we sat down and I started to talk to her, she opened up and she was fantastic. And we had this great back and forth interview. We talked baseball. We talked about the Phillies. She had red pants on. She's like, I'm dressed for the Phillies. I'm a huge fan. And it was just great. And at the very end of the interview, I thank her. And I say, all right, let's send it back upstairs. And I believe at that time, Sarge was in the booth with Tom. And I said, hey, let's send it back to Tom and Sarge. And as I'm doing that, she leans over and kisses me.
Murph got a kiss as well.
Well, Sarge, he went nuts. Wow. He's like, is she coming up to the booth?
And no, because she heard Alyssa Milano interview
and said,
I'm not getting near the booth with Sarge.
So, but that's funny because I think that was in my second season on the air
with
the Phils, and people still ask me about that. So it was memorable.
That's good,
and you just did an interview with Kristen Chenoweth. Right?
Yeah, the second time we've interviewed her. Sweetheart.
Any politicians?
The governor of Pennsylvania was in this year.
I'm a little disappointed.
And
you didn't get W.
No, we did not.
Yeah, have you ever done a president of the United States?
I've done the vice president. I did Joe Biden.
Joe Biden.
I did Joe Biden. I have never interviewed a sitting president.
How about the biggest rock star?
Biggest rock star.
Eddie Vedder? Have you interviewed Eddie Vedder?
No, Eddie Vedder.
Got to watch Iron out
Maiden.
Milwaukee.
Iron Maiden, not yet.
It's a good chance.
I don't know what the biggest rock star would have been, honestly. We get a lot of single acts, solo artists.
Right.
No Bruce?
I can't think off the top. No Bruce. No,
who
no
would
Billy.
You? All right.
Billy Joel.
One last question.
Billy Joel.
If you could choose who you'd interview.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just a huge fan of his, and I know he's a real good guy, and I think he'd be a great interview. He's an interesting guy. So, I would
you
like to.
You could talk about the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs.
Yeah.
Allentown.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. So I'd put him on my list. I mean, Jimmy Buffett, I don't know if I want to interview him. I'd just like to hang out with him
for a little while. If you had
good luck with that, Murph.
Ricky, if you had Murph's job, who would be your – you can pick anybody to come to a game, and you're going to interview that person.
Anybody to come to
anybody
a game.
To
well,
a
that's
game,
not what you asked me. You asked me music.
All right.
Well, I mean,
we'll give you a category. Rock star. If you're going to interview
probably Springsteen.
Springsteen.
There you go.
All right. President. Former president.
Former president.
Or it could be the
probably
current.
W.
All right. And last question: actor or actress?
Oh,
that's easy.
That's easy
for me. It is.
All right. Who's your actor actress?
Jennifer Aniston.
I actually met her. So
did you?
Yeah. So that was all right. But I still think Alyssa Milano.
No.
No?
I interviewed, well, both of us interviewed Alyssa
Milano. I've met her.
You're the only one sitting here that hasn't interviewed Alyssa Milano.
Thanks,
Take
guys.
That.
Thanks, guys.
Take that.
Thanks, guys. No, Jennifer Aniston would be a good one,
though. We didn't meet Jennifer Aniston.
No, we didn't. I would trade.
Right. The movie The Breakup was done while I was sitting there.
Really?
I was in the bullpen.
Oh, there you go.
They Vince Vaughn was three rows behind me.
Is that right?
Yep.
Wow.
You know when they did the scene right at the beginning?
Yeah, sure.
I actually went into the game while they were still doing the scene.
That's very cool.
Well, Murph, thank you for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. Good luck today. And do you have anybody today you're interviewing?
I want to know if he's going back in the Bay.
I'm thinking about it. It's been 6 years since I
he went
was
in the Bay.
McCovey Cove.
You should go in the kayak.
I want him to go back in.
Yeah, were you solo in the kayak or anybody with you?
I was solo. That was pretty cool. That's a long paddle, by the way. That's about a mile. If you have to paddle into the cove.
Were you tired, Murph?
I was exhausted. I was more tired on the way back.
Have we gone to Arizona yet? We haven't.
We have not.
Okay, so are you going to go in the pool?
I went in the pool last year.
Right.
I went full-fledged
that pool's
into the pool
not that great. I used to jump in every batting practice I had a shot.
Yeah. To me, it was like a soup.
That was awkward,
it was warm.
Wasn't it?
And
it is warm.
A little cloudy. Yeah. And I didn't.
You never know what's going on in there either.
Might have a Caddyshack moment.
Back in the pool.
They do, they don't the blue dye in the pool.
Or the Baby Ruth.
Chris Wheeler, we're going to get into old school, new school baseball. It should be a lot of fun, especially with that Hunter Strickland and Buster Posey. So you're listening to the Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA on 1490 WBCB. We are live from McFadden's.
Hi, this is Christopher Walken. Paralysis by analysis. That's what you get from the other baseball guys. This is the Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA. with Philly's director of fun and games, John Brazier, and co-host Ricky Vitalico. Ask John about the time him and I served in the war. We were in the great Battle of the Bands of 1985 between Scritti Politti and Rat. Two people got stabbed, and John saved my life. I salute you, John.
All right, we are back to the Baseball Insider Show, presented by SEPTA, live from McFadden's. I'm John Brazier, joined by Ricky Vitalico. That was Christopher Walken right there doing
our
intro.
Yes, it was.
And another Chris here is Chris Wheeler, the great Wheels. Wheels, how you doing?
Okay, Brazier, good to see you and Bo anytime.
I love seeing the expression on Vitalico's face when he heard Christopher Walken doing our... Because before that was you miss Adam Sandler before that, so we've had a lot of star-studded people that are big
fans. Christopher Walken's been great on Saturday Night Live when he gets on there.
He can be a little spooky.
Oh, a little? All right, Wheels, we got to get a lot to talk to you about because there's been a lot of stuff in the news.
And so depressed.
Well, that stuff, it's a shame.
All right, I'm going to start. I want to get into the Hunter Strickland story, but before we get into that, I want to talk about the rate of strikeouts. Mm-hmm. It kind of goes into a lot of, Buster Olney had this thing talking about how with these stats like launch angle and exit velocity, that players are changing their swing paths, and because of that, it's causing more strikeouts, and it's causing guys that are trying to hit bigger as opposed to just making contact. And you look at some of these things some stats. Now, the other day, we were talking about this. The Dodgers faced the Brewers. It went 12 innings, but there was 42 strikeouts. Granted, Clayton Kershaw was one of the pitchers, but still, 42 strikeouts in the game. Craig Kimbrell, through 20 outings, he's worked 20 and two-thirds innings, he's faced 72 batters, he's recorded 40 strikeouts.
That is sick.
Out of the 72 batters. It just seems that, back then, back in the day, it would be if a player had 180 strikeouts, yet he hit 30 home runs, he would be embarrassed. He'd be mortified. But now, if you have 200 strikeouts and you have 30 home runs, you're in the All-Star game and you're perceived as you're on cover of magazines and on ESPN. So it's almost like the stigma of strikeouts has almost gone away.
It has. Here's one of the things. There's a couple of things we can talk about. With Bo sitting here, I'd like to go into that because he made his life – as a relief pitcher.
Right.
And baseball has turned into a game of relievers. And what do you want to have happen when a relief pitcher comes in? You don't want anything to happen.
Right.
So they're trying to find as many guys as when he was young and threw really hard that can come in and punch two or three guys out in the inning that they work. Okay. But now you do that for three innings at a time, and all of a sudden you have all these innings where nothing happens if you're facing a team with a really good bullpen. It's good for the team that has it. It's not great for the game overall. The other thing, and then we'll talk about whatever you want about this stuff, is I get so tired of when I hear baseball people say, or a player, don't even think about the player, but a baseball person say, oh, strikeout's just an out. No, it's not. It's not just – ask him.
Right. It's not productive.
If you put the ball in play off a pitcher, maybe somebody kicks one. Maybe it takes a bad hop.
Right.
Anything can happen. So when you have a strikeout, that's not a good thing. So whether it's this stuff you're talking about or whether guys, you go to salary arbitration nowadays, they don't care about how many times you strike out. That's not even a big factor like it used to be. So it's a different game.
You brought up relievers, and this ticks me off. It really bothers me. I have a hard time finding the stat inherited runners and inherited runners scored anymore. Do you ever see it come up?
No.
On anywhere when you're watching, do you ever see it come up on a monitor? No. What happened to that? To me, that was huge. I didn't want to go give up this guy's runs because then he's going to look at me differently in the bullpen. It is just everything has changed, and I'm not necessarily thinking it's changed in a good way because players should not be thinking about exit velocity. They should be thinking about
contact.
See the ball, hit the ball. What would John Vukovich say about this?
Now look at this.
I know you're good. You're good friends. Great friends with John.
Vuk was a big proponent of pull the ball. He wanted left-handed hitters, especially, to pull the ball because, as you know, as a pitcher, a lot of bad things can happen to you as a pitcher when they pull the ball because you move runners a lot better that way. But by pulling the ball didn't mean you'd go up there and take wild swings and strike out all the time. So he was old school.
But I'm not so sure the old school way was bad.
It wasn't, but it. You know what? I said this to Braves yesterday. You have to be careful, especially at my age, as long as I've been around the game. You have to be careful you don't sound like an old fossil who won't change your thinking about things, because the game's not going to change back to the way it was when I started in 71.
Right.
God knows that. You just talk about hitting people and that sort of – that's another whole subject. But you have to be careful. But in my opinion, you don't have to strike out this much and think that you're some old – geezer talking about the game from 40 years ago when I was lucky enough to watch Mays and Aaron play the game. Right. You don't talk about it that way. But you have to be careful of it. But strike, I think you're on to something with that. I don't think they're good for the game because nothing happens. And
games go longer because of it.
It goes right along with shifts, well, with the shifts.
And talking about that, Bill Buckner never got once, right? Tony Gwynn had 200... He had three hits, and he had one three-strikeout game.
Yeah.
Okay. Four Ks, right? It was his 17th career 4K game. Unfortunately, he's the leader, all-time leader for most four-strikeout games. You had, when Herrera did the five strikeouts, there's only four guys in Philly's history that did that. But even on that Thursday, Schwarber had four strikeouts, Conforto had four strikeouts, Napoli had four strikeouts, Herrera had five strikeouts, and four other guys, Blackman, Odor, Cosman, Marrero, all struck out three times. So it just seems that, and then looking at strikeouts per game, 2009, it was 6.9 strikeouts per game. It went up to 7.1, 7.1, 7.5, 7.6, 7.7, 8.0, now it's at 8.3. And it's going up. So again,
one of those guys that you just mentioned had hit a home run in that game, they'd have been fine.
Exactly right, and that was my point of
they'd have been just fine with that.
200 strikeouts at 30 home runs, opposed to
they think that's what they're supposed to do. You know, go back to the old DiMaggio's and people that played like that. What Joe D strike out 56 times at 1 year, right. 500-600 at bats. But it's tough to go back to find those kind of guys. Look at the names you went back to find.
Right. My goodness, Rob Deere would be a superhero nowadays.
Right. Dave Kingman. All right, but let's switch subjects. Because I want to get this great debate is the whole situation Strickland. So you had Strickland 3 years ago. Bryce Harper hits a couple bombs off him, I believe, right?
Yeah.
And I think Bryce Harper was chirping 3 years ago. So now Bryce, they have a situation. First time they face each other since then. Strickland beans him. Harper attacks him, chases the mound with his helmet in his hand. Buster Posey stays there for a while, then eventually join the fray. So there's a lot of different dynamics going on there. A
hard subject for me to discuss, better for Bo to discuss.
You want Ricky to start?
Hey, here's the thing that I'll ask him. How long do you keep a grudge?
Let me put it this way. I've never hit a guy for hitting a home run off me. Never. And by the way,
if he went around real slow or something like that?
Well, that normally didn't happen to me because I think people thought I had an issue anyways. But I mean
– Good point.
But I mean, when you look at that home run that Harper hit off of him, Harper didn't know if it was fair or foul. That's why he was standing around home plate. But he decides to drill him, okay? In my eyes – no members. Who cares at that point? Who are you being a superhero for, yourself?
You know, when you first, like you're doing the divisions now. And sometimes you can see there's bad blood and you can see stuff coming. But in that case, you're talking about, as Bo just said, how many years ago that was. And these are two teams that play each other six times a year.
Right.
Three and three. So what's a rivalry? What's the whole thing? To me, it's a little bit about what goes on nowadays. Everything's about me. Me, 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 I. That was about him. He had no for what that was going to cause. Suspensions. Posey standing there with a bad knee.
And they're going to hit Posey.
Well, that's right. Exactly. Right. Who are they going to hit?
Right.
So that was a guy, to me, who was playing today's game, which is too much of me, 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 which is sports. It's not just baseball. It's let me see what I can do to bring attention to me. And that drives me nuts. And that's all fossil stuff.
And did Posey stay back because, A, I heard that Bochy told him that, you know, he has concussion issues, don't get involved in a fight? Was it because he said, you know what, I'm the one who's going to get hit, you know, you're doing this, and I don't...
Probably a mix of both.
Yeah.
I mean, for a guy not to go help his teammates, that's weak.
Catcher especially.
Yeah, it's very weak. I mean, as a pitcher, you depend on your catcher to be there with you, and that guy walked away, man. I'd be...
At least slow him up so the pile can get there.
Right. Well, you don't want the pile is the worst part.
No, it's awful.
Well, pile one guy got not. Michael Morris is on the DL now. Did you know that?
Well, he got they hit head on. That was like
Samardzija.
Two ramps.
Morris and Samardzija hit each other. But they're huge people.
Right now, Morris is on the is on the concussion list again. As you said, Strickland. He sets a thing in motion. God knows how it's going to affect
him. And he didn't think about that. Hey, look, I don't know this guy, and I don't. I like pass judgment on somebody. But to me, it's just part of sports nowadays. It's about me, and this is what I want to do, and the heck with what happens. I'm going to get suspended. I may get my teammates hurt. Who cares? I got to do what I wanted to do. In my opinion, wrong.
It was wrong. That was a bad situation. It was a wrong situation. Like Wheel said, back in the day, I mean, we used to play against the Expos all the time. Pedro Martinez, if you remember, always throwing at somebody. And we had to protect ourselves. And we would go in and just throw at anybody. It didn't matter. If he was throwing at us, we had to go back and retaliate right away. So they knew where it was coming from. They knew that their own players, and I played with Cliff Floyd, Pedro threw it because he thought he was going to get back of the year.
But the good players can't. So nobody on base, and you have the lead, hopefully.
All right, switching subjects. You said yesterday, 600 home run club, where he joined Barry Bonds, pretty big club here.
Steroids.
Barry Bonds, Hank Aaron, Babe Ruth, A-Rod, Willie Mays, Ken Griffey Jr., Jim Thome, and Sammy Sosa.
Wow, steroids. Three of them.
At 37 years, 138 days, the fourth youngest member of the club. Are we looking at the best first baseman in Major League Baseball history?
I get questions a lot. You know, name the best players you've ever seen and all that. And to me, and I've always said this to you, it's Mays. I'm unbelievable. There's nobody like Willie Mays. All around. What couldn't he do better than everybody?
Right.
So I stick with that. But and what Poe said, but what Pujols, to me, is. He's unbelievable.
His longevity.
He is.
Yeah, it's a joke.
600 doubles. Think about that. And 600 home runs. That's a guy that just drives the baseball everywhere.
0 for 5 in his career against me.
He remembers that one.
Good.
He is 141 RBIs away from 2,000.
Yeah. Does it say none against me?
He's 100, none against Ricky Pitalico. He's 125 hits away from 3,000. None against Ricky Pitalico. Only Aaron and A-Rod finished with 2,000 RBIs, 3,000 hits, and 600 home runs.
And 600 doubles. Yeah. I love doubles. I think a lot of things, the way you measure a hitter, is to look at how many doubles they hit.
Because they can go gap to gap.
Like
that's
Biggio.
Why.
You know, to me, Biggio was a Hall of Famer because all the doubles that he hit.
Well,
besides the other things.
All that gear he wore, too.
And then he's also the only player in Major League Baseball history to hit 30 or more home runs in each of his first 12 seasons and the first player to reach 400 home runs in the first 10. So
until he got hurt, he could really play first base.
Imagine if he'd never got hurt, where he would be in home runs.
His feet were so bad.
I mean, think about that. His first 10 years, he was averaging a batting average over 300, 30 home runs and 100 RBIs. First 10 years.
He'll tell you, you know what he never did? He didn't swing and miss.
Right.
No.
He would foul balls. He was like Rose. Pete was like that.
And he'd wait for the pitcher to make a mistake.
And he would just foul him off. You go back and you would go through a whole series with Albert Pujols. He wouldn't swing.
Well, it goes back to our previous statement.
Right.
So. All right, Wheels, thank you very much for joining us. That's great talk.
Okay.
Great Chris Wheeler. Coming up on the show, we're going to talk about Ricky Pitalica's former team, the New York Mets, and his second favorite mascot, Mr. Met. He's shaking his head right now. I don't think he believes that. You are listening to Baseball Insider Show, presented by SEPTA on 1490 WBCB.
Hey, what's going on? This is Tom Arnold. I like large women and painkillers. Make sure to watch and listen to the Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA each Sunday night right here on 1490 WBCB and at WBCB1490.com. And call your sponsor because you got a problem.
All right, we are back to the Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA live from McFadden's. I'm John Brazier, joined by my co-host Ricky Pitalico, and that was Tom Arnold.
Are you going to tell was Roseanne with him, too?
No, Roseanne was not.
Maybe she'll sing the anthem for you?
Well, you know what? You mentioned Mark Parent earlier, right? So I'm going to go a segue into this story, that the whole Roseanne Barr national anthem story. You know the story.
Yes.
Right? So for those that don't remember, Roseanne Barr, national anthem.
In San Diego.
She did a lewd gesture, right?
Right.
During the
and then spit.
She sang the national anthem, did a lewd gesture, and spit.
Right.
Right? So I wanted to get the backstory on that. And Mark Parent, who is your catcher, our catcher, the Phils, somehow it came up and he said, do you want to know the full story on that? Right? So Mark Parent told me that he was the catcher when, because he was playing for San Diego, when Roseanne Barr was going to sing the national anthem. So Roseanne Barr was really nervous and was telling Mark Parent before she was going to sing that she's very nervous. And she said, do you have any advice? And Mark Parent, you know Mark, this is typical of what he would say. He said, just do what any baseball player does.
Grab your cup
and spit. So that was in her head, and she's completely nervous.
Oh.
She starts singing the national anthem. Again, this is all according to Mark. She starts singing the national anthem. She starts butchering the national anthem. She panics, and I guess she has the last thing that Mark Parent told her. And next thing you know, she has a national reputation for lewd gestures.
I'm surprised she never threw him under the bus.
She never did. How about
Should've.
That? Should have. Yeah, so you never – how about that? That segue of Tom Arnold and Mark Parent, who you mentioned earlier.
Nice.
So, gotta love that. All right, Ricky Bowe, let's get into some talk here.
Okay, John.
You played for the Mets. You played for the Cardinals. You played for the Brewers. You played for, who else did you
Royals.
Play for? Royals.
Royals. And Diamondbacks.
And Diamondbacks. And now, Mr. Met is one of the longtime mascots, right?
You know what? Yeah, I guess. I don't know how long he's been there.
He was there when you were there.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I never saw him.
Yep.
Never saw him.
Okay. He's not as...
Maybe it's because I just didn't care.
I just think he's not as... he's not like the Fanatic where he's there every day and he's a big part of their marketing.
Let me put it this way. The Philly Fanatic is famous.
Right.
Mr. Met is not. I mean, that's the bottom line. I don't think the Mets fans really care about Mr. Met.
Well, I mean, look at the outfit. It's a big dopey head, right?
It's a... I don't know. He looks like a snow cone or something. I mean, it really doesn't make any sense. And he's only got four fingers, by the way.
Right. Well, all he needed was one.
Yeah, but you can't do it.
So we. That's right, because it wouldn't be a middle. So those that don't know the story, I guess Mr. Met was going down the tunnel. You tell the story.
He was getting heckled by a fan.
Right.
And he didn't seem to like it. The fan was filming him. He turned around in the tunnel and... flip the bird.
Now, the story was that I got from the back channels that this is a new employee. He barely is Mr. Met for a week.
He's not Mr. Met anymore, is he?
He's not Mr. Met for a week. And, yes, he did flip the bird.
Yep.
You've got to understand if you're a mascot or if you're a player or anybody that there's cell phone. Everyone's got a cell phone camera. Someone's going to be taking a picture or video of you.
Right.
And that's probably not the best thing to do in a family-friendly
environment.
Definitely
not a mascot. Game. You got to be pretty stupid to do that if you're a mascot.
Do you think he maybe got a too big of a head too early?
That's funny. That's funny.
I'm just thinking.
I would think right when he put it on, he had a big head.
Well, he apologized, and I think he got away with it, so... we'll see. Rick,
what do you mean he got away with it?
He didn't get away. He got fired.
Right.
But Mr. Met, I think the New York fans forgave the incident. That guy didn't get forgiven.
I got you.
But Mr. Met got forgiven. Now, did you know yesterday there were seven grand slams?
I did not.
In one day.
I know Albert Pujols was one of them.
Yep, Albert Pujols. I'm not going to name them all, but Zunino.
That's sick.
Yep, Chris Taylor had a walk-off grand slam with the Dodgers. So Kyle Schwarber. How about that?
That's a lot of grants. That's a lot of RBIs out there.
Yeah. All right, Ricky, now we have all-star bidding is going on right now.
Yeah.
Okay, or all-star voting, I should say. Have you done your voting?
No.
So they're looking through. If I give you the starting lineup.
Yeah.
I'm just going to read you this right now, the starting lineups, and just to show you the star quality that is out there. All right?
Yep.
So for the National League, you would have, or let's go American League. Your second baseman would be Jose Altuve.
Right.
Okay. Your shortstop would be Francisco Lindor. Your center fielder would be Mookie Betts. First base would be Miguel Cabrera. Right fielder would be Aaron Judge. DH would be Nelson Cruz. Third base, Miguel Sano, who's having a great Sano for the Twins. Left field, Brett Gardner. Catcher, Salvador Perez. And starting pitching would probably be, I'm guessing, Chris Sale.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So you got that team right there.
And then you have Posey. For the Giants.
And then starting lineup, you would have Charlie Blackman, Chris Bryant, Bryce Harper, Paul Goldschmidt, Joey Votto, Stanton, Daniel Murphy, Buster Posey, Corey Seager, and Kershaw.
Yeah.
It just shows you.
It's not surprising.
And it's not surprising at all, but it shows the star power that we have in this.
Well, right now it would be Harper, Blackman, Hayward.
I guess I'm saying more on.
It's absolutely ridiculous when you look at the outfielders. Bryce Harper has 900,000 votes.
Right.
Then Charlie Blackman with 520,000. And then the next three are in the 300,000s.
Right.
Well, that's crazy. That, I mean,
Who are you giving it to? Because we got to go wrap it up. So you're giving it to American League so far right now or National League?
I like the National League team.
All right, you heard it there from Ricky Pitalco. And that wraps up today's Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA Live from McFadden's. I'd like to thank my co-host today, Ricky Pitalco. Our engineer today, Chris Hermer. Helping out Chris was Matt St. Ange and Tyler Rosati. Our producer back in the studio is Jack Urban, we think. We always give Jack Urban credit, even if he doesn't get the credit, as well as our guest today, Chris Wheeler, Greg Murphy. Thanks to John Bernard and the good folks here at McFadden's. We are going to be back next Sunday at a new location. It's going to be BOP, which is on Broad and Locust. It's a great spot, so come on down. It's going to be a special post-game show following the 2:15 game at St. Louis. Stay tuned for Phillies on Deck with Jim Jackson as the legendary Harry the K says.
We are out of here.
You've been listening to the Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA, an exclusive presentation of 1490 AM WBCV and heard around the world at WBCV1490.com.